We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Hear these ancient words. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege of not only believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that I saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of God for the people of God.
So as Elizabeth was reading that text, you might think it got a little confusing because it is confusing, because if you look at it in Greek, which is what I wanted Elizabeth to read it in, but her mom wouldn't let her, it is a one very long run-on sentence that Paul jumps around in. And in order to understand these verses that were read, we've got to do something I know some of you don't really like. We got to do a little history of what was going on, what caused Paul to write that. In order to do that, we need to start in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bible, open to Acts chapter 16, verses 11 and 12 is what we're going to look at. And we've looked at this at the very beginning of this series 9 years ago. And so some of you might have forgotten it. Acts chapter 16, verse 11 to 12. This is how Paul ended up in Philippi in the first place in order to plant the Philippian church. And he says, we set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Now, when I first preached on this at the very beginning of this series, I did not mention what was the most important part of those two verses. You see, what Luke does, Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts, is Luke puts in these two seemingly minor details. But if you've been paying attention for the last however long I've been here, you will know that if there's seemingly minor details involved, then there's usually something kind of big going on. And that's what Luke does here. The first one, can we have the first slide back up of that verse? There we go. The first one, we highlighted it for you, is Luke calls Philippi a leading city. And by calling it a leading city, what Luke was telling us is, although this city was 800 miles away from Rome, it was a major hub in the first century world. It was a place that a lot of action was going on. It was a cultural center, if you will. It was a Chicago, or maybe a New York. It was like a Missouri City that is just filled with all sorts of activity. No one caught that I put Chicago, New York, Missouri City in the same breath? I thought, made me chuckle. But this is a happening place. It was big. It was large. It was active. It was busy. It was a financial district. It was a medical district. It was a historical district. It was an art district. It was a museum district. You get the idea. That's what Luke meant when he said leading city. And then he gives us another little phrase. The next slide. He calls it a Roman colony. Now, when I first saw that, I didn't pay much attention to it. But as I was getting ready for this series, for this sermon, and I was looking at the text that Elizabeth read, I began to wonder what was going on. So I went back and looked, and that's when the Roman colony jumped out at me, because I was beginning to wonder then how in the world a city 800 miles away from Rome would then be called a Roman colony. Now, what's important about that is if it was a Roman colony, that means the citizens of Philippi were Roman citizens, which was big in the first century, because Rome was the empire. And to be a citizen of the empire, you had certain rights and privileges, but also responsibilities. So I thought, and this is why I know some of you are going to check out, that we had to figure out why it was a Roman colony. We have to go all the way back to 42 BC. In 42 BC, there was this war for power of the empire. It was a war between Cassius and Brutus on one side, Mark Antony and Caesar Augustus on the other side. And the city of Philippi, well, the war happened right outside the city. And the citizens of Philippi sided with Caesar Augustus and Mark Antony. And Mark Antony and Caesar Augustus won the battle. And they had total control of the Roman Empire. And then one thing led to another, and soon Augustus and Mark Antony went to battle, and Augustus became the supreme ruler, the emperor of the Roman Empire. And because Philippi had supported his cause, and not only with people, but with also with financial resources, Augustus awarded the city by making it a Roman colony. And so the Philippi, the city of, well, they had a certain loyalty to the emperor. Because of him, their little know-nothing city became a leading city of the district. And not only did Augustus do that, but he was a brilliant mind, because he knew being 800 miles away, he would have a hard time to control them. And so what he did is he gave land to the veterans that fought in the war of 42 BC. And all the land was land that surrounded Philippi. So not only was it a leading city, not only was it loyal to the emperor, not only was it a Roman a colony, it was also a strong military power, as all these retired military guys hung out there, lived there, worked there. And that's important for us to understand. Because by the time Paul planted the church in Philippi, a new Caesar came on the throne, a guy by the name of Nero. And Nero had two terms he liked to refer when talking about himself. Two terms that he made the citizens of Rome call him. The first term was Kyrios. Kyrios means Lord. The second term was Soter. Soter means Savior. And what Nero on a regular basis would do would remind the Roman citizens that he was Lord and Savior, and that he was sent to the earth to bring peace and prosperity. So a proclamation in the Roman world was Nero, our Lord and Savior, who was sent to earth to bring about peace. That sound familiar to anyone? We've heard it before. Well, the problem was, is there were people, especially Paul, who chose not to acknowledge Nero as Lord and Savior. And if you did that, chose not to acknowledge, you were beaten, you were tried, you were imprisoned, and you were probably going to be executed, which is what happened to Paul while he was in Philippi. So you with me? You understand what we're doing? Now, with all of that background, I want us to open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 30. This is Paul writing from prison to the church in Philippi. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. Now, there's a word in there, evidence is what it says in mine Bible. Your Bible may say a sign, right? The Greek word that Paul uses for evidence or for sign is a word, you gonna put it up? It should be in your notes, indexis. Indexis means to point out. Indexis means to show something. It's where you get your word for your index finger. You point out with your index finger. That's where we get the word index finger, indexes. So Paul is pointing out something very important. And what he's saying is that what looks like destruction is actually going to be salvation. And we'll get to that in a second. And this is God's doing, verse 29. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Now, the word granted, it's in your notes, is the word charizomai. And charizomai is where we get our word grace. Now, that seems odd to put grace and suffering together in the first in one sentence, in one thought. But what Paul believed, just like faith is a gift, just like faith is grace, Paul truly believed that if you suffered, it was a gift that God gave to you, that it was this thing God wanted you to have. And when he says suffering, he uses the word pasco. And pasco doesn't mean suffering because of some natural disaster or some illness, cancer. It doesn't mean suffering because you're an obnoxious person, right, and no one likes you. When Paul uses the word pasco, he's talking about a special kind of suffering. A suffering that at the time appears like suffering, but that God will use for something good. For Paul, pasco is a suffering with a purpose. It's a suffering that will be redeemed by God. It's like Good Friday. It's a suffering, but we know Sunday is coming. It's when we see death, but we know resurrection is here. It's when we sit in darkness, but we know light is on the way. It's a suffering like Christ suffered. It's a suffering like Paul suffered. And it's a suffering that he says is a gift. And then he says, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word in your notes that Paul uses for struggle is the word agon. And agon is where we get our word agony. And Paul is saying to the church, what I'm going through, you're going to go through. And no matter what happens, stay true, stay firm, stay together, stay faithful. Now, the city of Philippi, you have to understand, since it was a Roman colony, since it was a strong military base, they had certain things would happen. If you went to a theater or to a sporting event, they all would begin in the same way. You would be there with your friends, you would have tickets, you'd be with your family. And at the appointed time, right when it was all about to start, kind of like our national anthem, a herald would come out dressed in full Roman outfit, and he would blow a trumpet, and the announcer would then make the announcement that it was time to give homage to our Caesar, to Nero. It is time to proclaim that Nero is Lord and Savior. And it was a time to bow down and to kneel. Now, if you were a follower of Jesus, you had a choice to make. What were you going to do? Would you stand? Now, remember, if you didn't acknowledge Nero as Lord and Savior, you would be beaten, tried, imprisoned, and probably crucified. And Paul says, you're going through the same thing I went through. What would you do? Paul says to stand firm, to not give in, to not be intimidated, that you will face the same agon struggle. And you may think it's your destruction, but it's really your salvation. He tells him, it may look like Friday, but Sunday is coming. So what would you do? See, and that's a question you guys have to answer. I mean, in a few moments, like soon, you're going to come up here. Three of you are going to be baptized. All 11 of you are going to come and kneel. We're going to lay our hands on you. And we're going to say some words. And you will make your public profession that you don't think Nero is Lord and Savior, but that you think Jesus is Lord and Savior. And there's going to be times at school over the summer when dealing with your little sister, who we know can be difficult, yours too, yours especially, and your older brother, right? There's going to be times where you're going to have to make the decision. Are you going to bow down to that which is Nero, that which isn't the way Jesus would do it? Or will you stay faithful to this, well, to this profession you're about to make? I mean, I asked each one of you, when you thought you were getting tested, right? I asked you, did you want to do this or did your parents make you? And I begged you not to lie. And some of you were very honest. At least one of you said to me, Well, my parents made me, but now I kind of enjoyed it, right? We're looking at you, Seth, we're looking at you. We're all looking at you, right? But that's honest. But now you made the decision. In a moment, you're going to stand up. You're going to say, I believe. And then you're going to get confirmed, and you're going to say, I want to follow. And it is life-changing, but it's hard. And Paul says to you this morning, stay strong. When everyone else is bowing down to things that they know aren't right, you guys stay strong, stay firm. Remember this day. And you may get picked on. You may get teased. You may get left out of certain things. But Paul says, that may seem like your destruction, but it's really your salvation. Paul says, that may seem like suffering, but it's really a gift that God gives you because you're standing up for the truth. Jesus is Lord and Savior. See, not only are these 11 making that, most of you, I mean, you're here. And some of you are here because you were forced. Some of you lost a bet and you had to come. I don't know, but you're here. And in walking in some way, you are acknowledging that something special is going on here. And some of you have been the same place where you made a decision that Jesus was Lord and Savior, that you weren't going to bow down to the Nero, that this was really important. And then over the years, you forgot. The day was a long, long time ago. Well, heck, some of you were standing with Peter when he made his profession. You have a chance to renew that. Because when you go to work, when you go hang out with your friends, just like these 11, you're gonna be tested. And maybe the Nero you bow down to is the Nero of the almighty dollar, where that becomes the most important thing to you. That's your Lord and Savior. Maybe for you it's being successful or an accomplishment. But the reality is, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And just like these 11, it's a decision you have to make, not only today, but tomorrow and the day after that. Paul says, stand firm. That no matter what happens, don't give in. Don't be intimidated because your suffering, it may look like your destruction, but it's really your salvation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Me? Both now and forever?
In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go from this place. May the love and grace and peace of God go with you.
And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but
the best of the best of the best.
And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And if you want to see the confirmants, come this way.